Hey, welcome back to another episode of Dads You Try.
This is episode 48, Nate.
Let's go, 48.
48, Nate is great.
I was trying to think of something clever, but I didn't have anything.
It, like, I feel like the word eight and like Nate and like those.
Great, yeah. Nate, fate.
Yeah, it's always a good, late. You know, I feel like I'm in an episode of Dr. Seuss and like Cat in the Hat and stuff, you know?
My aunt, Aunt Linda, shout out to Aunt Linda. She's amazing. She listens to the podcast every once in a while, but her she's like trademarked be great. Not be great. Have a great day.
Got it.
And it's like HVGR8 day or something like that. It's awesome. Her email.
Yeah.
It's her license plate on her car, like everything.
It's hers.
So we're gonna do great. We're gonna be great on episode 48.
Let's go.
Tommy, we've moved at least for now. Two daily podcasts.
Yeah, this is exciting. We decided that the month of December should be the month of giving. And I mean, it's already the month of giving, right?
Like it is.
It's the holiday season. We're giving back. But we thought we would do a challenge where we would just drop a podcast every day. And Nate, I would say this is our first time doing this. And I'm very excited for what's to come.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm excited. I'm nervous. Be on the lookout. We're going to be dropping a pod every single day at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
Or by 8 o'clock, maybe a little bit earlier, just depending. But by 8 o'clock every morning. Hey, we want to say a big shout out to everyone who tunes in. And we got our Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah. It is the most, like thrilling thing you can do to, like, go through your Spotify Wrap and check out, like, all the stats that, you know, that comes along with it. And, I thought we were, like, you guys, I was actually shocked at some of the stats that came back for this podcast.
Yeah, we had over 2,000 people who say Dads Who Try is, or who listen to Dads Who Try as their top 10 podcasts.
Yeah.
And, you know, realistically, they probably only listen to 10 podcasts, and so we kind of skirted in there. Who knows? We had about 1,000 people who were in the top five, and about 200 A little over 240 people say that our podcast is number one, which is crazy.
Listen, you guys, I don't care about other people with their podcasts and these millions of subscribers. I am thankful for the 240 people that shouted us out and said we're number one. You guys, I'm running with that all week. I have crazy energy right now because of those stats, and I'm just so grateful and thankful. I was like in shock that we have people who actually enjoy this podcast, man. Like, I really do. Like, I'm so humbled by it.
Yeah, it's so weird because for us, it's like the podcast would probably be the last thing we focus on. You know, we're thinking social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and then the podcast. But if I'm gonna be honest, the podcast is my favorite thing that we do.
Yeah.
And it looks like so many people find value in it, which is just crazy. We're just talking about stuff.
Yeah, and I thought it was really cool. You guys, I'm into like these stats right now. I'm thinking about all the stuff you're telling me. And I thought one of the most interesting fact about the stats was that it said 47% of people are texting.
Texting
this podcast.
That's so, yeah, thank you to everyone who's texting the podcast. And listen, 72 countries have been recorded. At least 72 people, but it said our podcast has been listened to in 72 different countries. And so let us know. We're going to put a poll up on the podcast. So wherever you listen to, especially if you're on Spotify or if you're on Anchor or Podcasters, I don't really know what it's called anymore, but we'll leave a poll up or a questionnaire. We want to know where you're listening from. Are you from America? Are you from around the world? 72 countries is pretty crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, living in a time like this where we feel like podcasts are really saturated right now, everyone's like having a podcast. I just think it's pretty special to be able to talk and, you know, get people's input on, you know, on life decisions and kind of how they're raising kids and, you know, this whole journey with life and, you know, culture and sport. It's just all the things that I'm like really enjoying talking about. And it is really cool to have people kind of tune in to kind of what we have to say.
Yeah. It's so true. There's so many podcasts. It's so saturated. You know, you get a podcast, you get a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who has a voice thinks they should have a podcast, including us. And look, we're the least qualified. We just have a couple kids and we like to talk about them. But why don't we jump in?
Yeah. I thought just, you know, before we really get into the meat of things, man, I thought I just want to shout out our football teams for college, Nader.
Whoa.
We can't start this podcast, and we can't go into this podcast any further without recognizing our football teams. You guys, I'm originally from Michigan. Michigan, we got the college rankings today, and Michigan is number one overall.
And I'm football. From the Seattle area, and the team I've been rooting for my whole life is the University of Washington Huskies.
The Huskies.
We're number two in the college. Whoa, Tommy.
And
should we make a little wager?
We can. What would you like to put on the wager?
I don't know. That'll be the second questionnaire.
Yeah.
What should we put on the line according to whose team wins?
Yeah.
Like, should I have to wear Michigan gear?
Yeah.
And you have to wear UW gear?
Yeah.
Are we shaving our heads? Like, what are we doing?
We got to leave it for the people.
Okay.
You know, so we're going to put a poll up tomorrow when this podcast comes out.
Yep.
And we're gonna hear from you guys, and we want to hear some wager ideas, and whatever you guys decide will be our fate.
It will be our fate.
Yep. But, okay, so number one, Michigan. Number two, the Huskies.
Number three, Texas.
The Longhorns.
Yep.
You guys, they squeezed in last minute. And there's so much politics around these
because it's so bad.
Number four, we have Alabama. And
controversial.
So, yes, very. Now, again, you have two teams who I feel like should have been in to some degree, right? We're talking about Florida State. Who essentially went
flawless,
you know, 13-0. And then you have Georgia, who lost to
Alabama by three
and got snubbed. And so I was on our social media today, kind of just watching all the sports stuff, and I just seen so many people
so upset right now
at the college rankings. Now, again, I don't know if I would agree with everything, but again, I'm one of millions of people who probably feel like that. But what do you think about like the idea of how they choose? Like, is it right? Like, I truly don't know.
I wish there was like some algorithm or, you know, something like that, but it's up to a committee, and they, as far as my understanding goes, they discuss, they debate, they look at records, they compare schedules, all that fun stuff. But at the end of the day, the picks are subjective.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, whoever they're feeling in the moment. And people think that Alabama gets in and they're given unfair treatment, or SEC schools, right?
But let's be honest, Nick Saban has that committee ran. Like, I mean, I was talking to someone today, and they're watching their interview. And the way that this guy was just talking, he was kind of like, I knew this was going to happen. And so I'm like, man, bro, listen, if you're a Roll Tide, look, you guys got that SEC covered.
Yeah.
Like, you're in.
Truly, truly.
I don't know, man. Like, Texas, you know, like, they had a great run in the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought they were kind of squeezing by towards the end of their season there. UW, in classic UW fashion, they're, you know, still
had a lot of hard games when we made it.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say Michigan, who I think will, who I truly love and would always cheer for, I think they're going to have a challenge here when they play an SEC team. It's always been like that since I've known them.
Totally.
But they do look really good this year.
Yeah, this is just what I know about Seattle sports. Don't get your hopes up. I'm die hard. I'm going to go all the way for them, but I know Seattle sports.
But you know what, though? This upcoming season for 2024.
Yep.
The
Pac-12.
The Pac-12 is
rest
coming.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. They're coming to the Big Ten.
Crazy.
And so USC, UCLA, the Huskies.
Washington State University.
And Washington State are all joining the Big Ten, which I think will be probably.
Is Stanford?
I don't believe so. I thought it was only. And then did I say UCLA, USC, UW, and then Washington State?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. So those four teams will be joining the Big Ten, which I think could make a really great conference.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it okay if we move on from college football?
Of course.
Because I posted a question on our Instagram today.
Yeah.
I asked all the dads or everyone who tuned in onto our story. I said, if you could have one Christmas present this year, what would it be?
Tell me some of the responses.
And we got some good answers. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The most people ask for time.
Yeah.
They said, I want time for Christmas, okay? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people asked for time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Some people said world peace. Maria.
Yeah.
Maria says, I want world peace for Christmas. Okay. Really, Maria? You like, want world peace for Christmas?
Like we.
How about this? How about family peace? How about my two sons don't fight each other every morning?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, now, again, you know, we're, of course, we want world peace, Maria. We do. Like, I don't want all this stuff to be happening anymore. Trust. But I do want
to. Come on. But this come is your on. Chance to be creative.
Yeah, I want to be able to walk and go get coffee with my wife and maybe not have my kids around for like 5 minutes, you know?
This person goes, 3W. I won't say the rest, but 3W goes, I want cold hard cash. Tens of thousands of it. Look, I respect the honesty. Cold hard cash. But tens of thousands? If you're going to ask for cold hard cash.
Let's ask for millions and billions, man. Come
give
on.
Me millions, billions, trillions. You know, I want it all. I'm trying to bathe in the bills, baby.
Yeah, whenever we talk about cold hard cash, I always think about blank check.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
Blank check, he gets the blank check for $1 million. Oh, Preston.
He is. I mean, remember when he cashed in that backpack? He was like, I mean, he probably had $1 billion in there. It said only 1 million, but I'm like, there's no way you're swimming in that amount of cash with hundreds of dollar bills in that room.
Dude, growing up, I thought $1 million could do anything. And back then, it probably could. But now?
You guys, I mean, this guy in the movie bought a castle.
Yeah, and fully furnished it with all the crazy
go-karts and boxing rings and crazy
pools. Have you seen $1 million in cash, like, in hundreds?
I haven't.
It's not a lot.
Yeah.
Like it's like suitcase. A small, no, like a it doesn't even fill a suitcase.
Yeah.
I was shocked. But I want like 50 of those. Let's go.
You want 50 mil?
Sure. 60 mil.
What would you do with 60 mil?
420 mil.
Are you just throwing out random numbers right now?
Maybe.
I'm like, where are you going with this?
Okay. Here's, we had a bunch that said they want their bills caught up.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Relatable.
Yep. Someone said a new Ford Raptor.
Okay. Get into the details.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a Ford Raptor?
Never.
I have.
I thought they were extinct.
The Raptors are extinct, but the Ford, dude, you're such a dad. It's crazy. But the Ford Raptors, I was in one, a buddy of mine who played sports had a big truck. He's 6'10".
Whoa.
Yeah, this guy is big, so he needed a big truck.
Yeah.
And I hopped in this Raptor. I literally had to hop in.
Yeah, you had to step, jump up.
Yeah, exactly. You never get sunned in your life like that until you got to hop into a truck.
Hey, you need some help?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, man, I'm good, but I'll jump into the truck. But the Ford Raptor was by far one of the biggest trucks I've ever been in. All really right. Cool.
Shout out to the Ford Raptor.
Yep.
Someone said offset smoker.
Offset smoker?
Is that like a...
Must be a barbecue thing.
Yeah, like maybe it's like separate from the barbecue.
Yeah.
Or is it like a smoker that's sold by Offset? The wrapper.
I do know Offset Coffee as well, which
shout out.
But I think it could be three of those things. Either way, I would want it. It sounds awesome.
Someone said smiles on my family's faces. Look, I love it. I want your family to have smiles on their faces, but come on.
Yeah.
If you have anything for Christmas, you don't think they're already not going to be smiling on Christmas?
Hey, trust. They're going to get something.
Like, come on. Yeah. Come on. I love it. It's cute. It's that's so wholesome.
Yeah.
But come on.
Yeah.
This person said, Lord. Excuse me. Well, sorry. I don't know what that was. Black lung. someone said they want Lorcana cards. Do you know what that is?
I don't.
Disney
yeah.
just started their own trading card game, like yes. Pokemon.
Wow.
Called Lorcana.
I'm not vibing.
No, I'm not buying those.
I'm not buying those, you guys. I the only thing I'm buying in Disney right now is literally Disney Plus, which I pay for a subscription.
I do as well. I might grab some stock. Who knows? Yeah. So look at this, what this person said. The Mad Titan said, I want a job for Christmas.
That's real.
Hey.
Let's go. Shout out.
I love that.
Yeah.
Shout out to the job for Christmas. Maybe in your stocking, people can put applications. Let's go. Okay. The next one. I like this one. A nice, big, comfy recliner.
Yo, you got me. What? You got me with that one. You can't say that, bro. I'm not ready for you to say that kind of stuff.
What?
Like, you can't say I get an application, bro. Like, I just... I wasn't ready for it. And you were looking at me like I'm dumb. I'm like, holy cow. Like, this is definitely unfiltered time that night, you guys. And I love it.
Listen, like, listen, for all the parents out there, you're looking for a job. Two things. Number one, we can relate with you.
Yeah.
Tommy, you just recently moved from Michigan to LA.
Yep.
And you and your wife are both looking for jobs.
Yeah.
How many applications have you filled out, or between you and your wife?
You guys, we were on LinkedIn. I promise to God, we've probably put in over, and I'm not even saying, like, just being facetious. I've literally put in hundreds and hundreds of applications. Like, and it's just, you know, obviously LinkedIn makes it so much easier that you can just do it with the click of a button because it sends
not sponsored.
Yeah, not sponsored. You know, no, this is not a sponsored LinkedIn, you guys. I wish they would, and I wish they would pay us to even talk about them, but they don't, and I don't care. But, I mean, by the click of a button, I'm just sending out my resumes out there. My wife, for a year, by the way, has been sending out resumes, and she's working now, but it's just like the grind of this whole parenthood, you guys, is that you just have to be relentless in what you believe you're supposed to be doing. And I know that nothing's handed to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do everything in my power to, you know, to put myself out there. And you may get rejected. Honestly, it's not a fun feeling, but you may get rejected for some time, but you just need one.
Look, I've never applied for somewhere and didn't get the job until I moved to LA and I didn't have a job. And so I made getting a job my full-time job.
Yep.
And I filled out, I think, 280 applications with no callback.
Yep.
I didn't get a job until someone who had a job that I knew got me a job.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is, you know, it's not like this everywhere. LA is just that type of place where, you know, the job market is crazy. I used to work at Starbucks in Washington. Easy.
Yeah.
I was employee of the month.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to apply to Starbucks here.
Yeah.
This will be in the bag.
When in
Washington, they told me the stat when I applied in here in LA and I didn't get the job. They said in Washington, the average application or the average job gets about 15 applications. The average job here in LA gets over 250.
Sheesh. Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
All that to say is that just continue to be persistent, you guys. Like, it's, you know, I think if you're...
It's real, by the way.
Yes.
Joblessness, trying to find the right job. And look, this might be a controversial opinion. I think it's better for you to work at McDonald's and still apply to get a better job than to not work at all.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of people I feel like, who maybe that I've known, sorry, I don't know if this is everyone, but I feel like people that I've known are, you know, have applied and they've been kind of sitting around waiting for like the right opportunity. I don't know if I'm like that. I've always had it in me to just, you know, I'd work whatever job. I really didn't care whether it was waiting on tables or whether it's, whatever, you know,
lawn
food,
services,
whatever it is.
Whatever.
I'm just not above it. And so I will hustle until like I actually want to, you know, be where I'm supposed to be. And
well, I think as a parent too, like, It teaches two things. Number one, it teaches your children that no matter what, you're going to provide for them.
Exactly.
And number two, it teaches them how to be resilient and have resolve and do hard things. I think a lot of young people in, you know, younger millennials, Gen Z, it's, you know, we get a bad rap for not being hard workers. I think that's, you know, part of that's like, okay, or we do things smarter, not harder. So I think that's part of it. But with that comes like a lot of loss of perseverance and endurance and stamina and just doing hard things to make things work.
Yeah. You can't teach, like, you can't teach that grit that you need to have, you know, like not to like camp around here all night, but I just think if you sit around and wait around for things to happen, you're probably going to sit around and wait around for a long time. So
facts. That's so true. Go get it. Okay, this person said, excuse me, gassy tonight. Hello.
it's dude, it's the after hours, man.
I just said that on the mic.
You guys, Listen, we normally record podcasts in the morning, but tonight we decided we're going to do a night session.
Tonight.
You know, sometimes we're feeling great and sometimes we're feeling gassy.
Let's live it up. Lime. Okay. This person said, I want a high-end consumer-grade 3D printer with a year of filament. You know, I like the specific ones.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's fire.
Listen, this dad said...
Yeah, there must be in like publishing or something, because that's pretty detailed.
No, you don't have a 3D printer? Would you ever want one?
To be honest with you, right now, I don't even know if I can picture what that is.
Dude, it's a printer.
Yep.
That prints anything. Like... You want an Iron Man helmet. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop,
boop, boop, boop, boop. No.
Brrr, a day later, you got an Iron Man helmet.
No.
I'm dead serious.
Stop.
You want new glasses? Minus the lenses? Beep, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Boom, new glass frames.
Like frames.
Whatever you want,
that's
bro.
That's made out of...
Look, after this podcast, I'm about to rock your world. Like,
but are you for real?
Yes, dude. It's crazy. I'm telling you.
Or maybe that's what I want to then shoot.
Okay. This dad said, I want to sleep until at least 10 a.m. Oh, man. That feels...
I'm not mad about that one, actually.
I couldn't even... Yeah. I want that so bad, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
I feel like I would need a whole month without my kids just for my body.
Yeah.
To get to 10 o'clock.
Maybe a whole week. Maybe we send our kids away. Or I don't know.
Okay, there's a bunch more. I'm just going to highlight one more. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Caleb says, I want 17 million USD.
Hey, listen, Caleb. I want you to have 17 million USD. And when you get that, you just send, I don't know, whatever number kind of comes to your mind. 9. Yeah, like, you know, you keep 16.9. Maybe you just give me 100 grand.
That's it.
You know, me and Nate will split it 50-50.
Hey, Caleb, actually check your DMs. Like, I'm just kidding.
Look, we start asking him right now for it. Like, bro, he hasn't got it yet.
So specific. You think there's something in particular he's aiming for?
I don't know. Maybe he's just like, hey, I'm going to put it out there in the atmosphere and the universe and, you know, the whole situation. Hopefully it comes back and lands on me.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Talking about putting out in the universe. What do you think about Santa Claus? Are you going to raise your kids up with Santa Claus?
You know, I haven't really thought about it yet. They've been watching, there's been cartoon episodes of like
Trash Truck Christmas.
Yeah, like yeah. Trash Truck Christmas. And, they've seen that episode. They love that episode. And, but I don't know if they understand it yet, you know, of who, you know, Santa is. I don't know. I think I'm just going to go with the flow and, you know, and see where it lands.
I wanted to have my kids being a Santa Claus, but River, our 7-year-old now, he figured it out.
On his own.
He asked me, he goes, Dad, are you and Mom Santa Claus?
Yeah, he was like, I know.
And I'm like, no. And he's like, because I think you guys are Santa Claus, and if you're lying about that, are you lying about God and Jesus?
He got you with that one.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, me and your mom, we're Santa Claus. Yeah, he's fake, but Jesus, you know.
He's like, yeah, he's real. But Santa Claus, old man, he's not.
And he goes, River's like, so Santa Claus, he never existed? I'm like, well, there's this guy, Saint Nick, but he's dead. And bro, the other day, we're outside, and I hear our neighbors talking with River, and they're arguing.
Yeah.
They're going back and forth. No, you guys aren't going to get any presents because you don't believe in Santa Claus. You're not getting any presents from Santa Claus because he's dead. River's not saying he doesn't exist. He's going, Santa's dead.
Yeah.
And the other kid's like, he's not dead. I promise I sent him a letter.
Holy cow.
I had to be like, hey, River, come inside real quick, man. Hey, we talked about this, dude.
Yeah. You're not supposed to say anything.
I told you the truth, but it's a secret. You can't tell the other kids.
Man. Yeah.
And watching this other kid, like, he's struggling, like, is Santa dead?
Or, yeah,
like, you know,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, man. This
he's,
is
like, probably, dead. Like, trying to process, like, what is, like, being said.
Yeah, his whole world is rocked.
Yeah.
He's like, but I got an elf on the shelf, and he's Santa's surveillance spy. And, you know, the whole thing.
Yellow, Johnny, it's a lie. It's been your mom and dad the whole time.
What do you think about these elves? Do you know this whole concept?
No.
Elf on the Shelf?
Yes, kind of.
So every morning,
yep,
the parents move the elf to a different place,
yeah,
to convince the kids that the elf is real.
Yeah.
And the elf is like Santa's
helper.
Spy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To make sure that
you're good.
Not naughty or not. Yeah, you're naughty. Or you're nice, not naughty, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this sounds like a really interesting way to manipulate kids.
Yeah, it's actually kind of creepy.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'd have so much fun with it.
Homie, this reminds me of a TikTok video I just watched recently. And
yes.
It's like the little dolls that are on the house. And they put like a string, like a thread that you can't really see. And so like people are sitting on the couch and they're just like on their cell phone or reading like a book. And then like their partner is like kind of messing with them. So they'll pull the doll and so it'll move. And then like, you know, so they're wiggling a little bit until they get their attention. And then you look, the person's like, look at it. Which is very startled.
And then
they start inching it closer. And then, dude, they start flipping out and, like, running. And then they'll tug at this thing, like, fly at them. And they're, like, screaming, bro. And I legit spent almost a whole afternoon, like, just, like, rewatching this thing. And, you know, Leo was, like, asking me, like, what are you actually, like, screaming about? And I'm, like, I was just dying. I couldn't even get my words out, bro, because I was just, like, watching the reaction. And I want to get her one of these days.
Dude, well, yes. You know I got Steph once.
Yeah.
I got her good. Go check out the Instagram and check it out. But I scared her so bad.
Yeah, that was actually, you guys, I would hate it for it to be done on me because I just know how it would react.
Yeah.
I would be over the top because I just can't handle that.
Like, dude, it's not even funny.
Yeah, like I would respond like that. Like, I'm so frustrated, man. But looking back at it, I would just be dying. But the reactions on some of these videos, you guys, is truly priceless.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Going back to this Elf on the Shelf thing,
yeah,
and Santa Claus and like Tooth Fairy, all of it. I grew up convinced all of it was real.
Yeah,
Easter Bunny. I mean, obviously, I got to an age where I was like, you know, I was like 18. And I figured out they weren't real.
18,
like, dude, what,
bro? You were not believing the Tooth Fairy at 16, Nate.
Well, not the Tooth Fairy, but Easter Bunny. dude, every bunny lays eggs, like, you know, because they're mammals.
Dude, I...
There's some things that don't match up with that Easter egg thing.
Yeah. I don't... To be honest with you, man, like, this whole concept of, like, all these characters on these holidays, I don't know if I was really ever, like, into it. Like, of course, I celebrated the season, and I'm like... I just don't remember as a kid, like, buying into that fact, but I always enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think my mom and my dad even knew, like... You know, they're not
the tradition.
The tradition of it. And so it's like, I'm like, hey, if we're getting gifts, I'm good. I don't care if Santa's real or not. Like, he could be, but hey. Yeah.
Who cares who brought the gifts?
But I want to know what's in that box.
As long as someone brought the gifts.
Yeah. And you know who the best gift giver was in my family? It was my Aunt Jasmine.
Hey, shout out to Jasmine.
Yeah. I was always ready to open up her gifts because they were always good. And she just had money. She did. Shout out to Aunt Jasmine. I knew your Christmas boxes were something I always wanted. And so anytime I've ever opened up a gift, I've always enjoyed it. So shout out to Aunt Jasmine, who lives now in Houston.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I want to get better at? And, you know, I think that there's a lot of studies and research out there that show that families that have long-lasting traditions, intentional traditions, you know, things like eating around the dinner table, sharing, you know, facts about their day, stuff like that. But just longstanding traditions, they seem to, all the research shows that they stick together more closely as a family. There's less drinking, more higher graduation rates, all that stuff.
Yep.
I want to start creating traditions around these holidays.
Yeah.
So that way I don't have to lean on gifts
for
it to be memorable.
Yep.
The tradition makes it memorable.
Yeah. Bro, by the way, this reminds me of a great, great family that I know that lives in Michigan. Shout out to the Budzinski family.
Yo, the Budzinskis.
Yeah, and I mean, bro, these guys are like 6-7 people. Sorry. I mean, their family's way bigger. I'm pretty sure there's like 7 or 8 of them in this whole crew. Kids.
Whoa.
And but their whole family is like a straight mafia.
Jeez.
There's probably like... I remember they posted a family photo 1 year when they got gathered everybody, and I kid you not, there's probably over 70 some people there in this photo.
The Budzinski's getting it on.
And I will say these guys are amazing at tradition. Like they always do like yearly trips. I mean, they're doing a ton of stuff already. I guarantee you their house is like full on right now, doing all this crazy stuff. Because there was time when I visited them during these holidays. And something that you said is very true. When you have these family traditions and values, it really does last for a long time. And they started these things years ago when these guys were kids. Mm. And now these guys all have their own kids, but they still rally around, during the holidays. And it's the same traditions. And I'm like, you guys, how do you get to that point of doing that where you're kind of instilling these values and traditions? And I thought Gary and Karen, who actually did our premarital,
Not ours.
Me and my wife, exactly.
Just so people know just Dad can try.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have done such a great job at just being consistent and intentional in starting that as a family way back when. And shout out, 30-something, 40-something years later, they're still doing this. Wow. It's actually incredible.
Yeah, I think a few things that we want to start, obviously doing the Christmas tree, all that fun stuff, gingerbread houses. My wife makes an insane bourbon caramel apple pie.
Lord, dear Lord.
Bourbon salted caramel apple pie. That's just to die for. She's the queen of confection around our house.
Are you going to make it this? Is she going to make it this year?
Oh, yeah. The whole, yes.
Can I get dibs on a piece? It actually sounds amazing. I'll work out right now just for that.
Yeah, you hear that, Dex? We'll burn it off, okay? we got it.
Exactly.
But I want to be intentional.
Yeah.
To create traditions and moments. I'm convinced as parents, like half the battle is fighting for moments.
Yeah.
To dial in your child's attention, get rid of distractions and create a memorable moment for them to turn into a core memory for the rest of their life.
And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. I just think that you just exactly what we're just saying right now, it has to be the intentional piece.
Yeah, exactly. Intentional and consistent. Yep. A tradition that my grandma had?
What's up?
On my mom's side, the white side. Mm-hmm. My Filipino side, she didn't have this. She had Filipino food. But on my white side, my grandma always had those little wieners.
The
little smokies.
Yeah, but they're hot, like something in a blanket?
No.
Pigs in a blanket thing?
Well, that's delicious too. Yeah. But it was just like a crock pot.
Oh, let's go.
Full of like barbecue sauce. Yes. I don't even know what the sauce is. Full of little
wieners.
It's like
wieners. Like barbecue baked things with the little mini sausages in them.
Yeah.
Yes. Those are so good.
It created a memory for me. Like I just knew every time I go to my grandma's house, I'm gonna get a toothpick, eat 400 of these things, and we're gonna open up stock. It's like stuff like that. That's just like I remember everything that surrounded that. I think one of the things that we underestimate our ability to sense, right? Our five senses.
Yep.
Can you name them?
Touch. Smell.
Touch me. Yep.
Sight.
Great.
Taste. But that was so weird. And what did I miss?
Hearing. Right?
Yep.
But really, we have way more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We have the sense of space.
Yeah.
And it's the number one thing that drives our memory.
Yeah.
Is our spatial memory.
Right.
And so I remember that space.
Yeah.
You got those hot dogs in the kitchen, on the counter. Next to it, they always had this nasty cans of canned oysters. Disgusting, but I loved them. I ate them. And on the other side of the kitchen was the living room.
Yeah.
And all the grown-ups would do stockings with my grandparents. And then there's I remember every inch of that place.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes I forget. You don't remember the items as much as you remember the spaces.
I want
to create a home that's so memorable. I heard someone say the goal of our parenting is for our kids to want to come back home when they're adults. Not to live at home, but come back home.
Yeah. At this point, though, I'm like, I don't mind if my boys actually want to come back and live. I don't live last night, dude. I promise. On God, I said to her, because I was watching them go to bed. And we just kind of had one of those weeks where I was kind of in and out a lot. And so I'm like, man, I hadn't, really seen them a lot. And so thankfully I had a time where I was able to put them to sleep. And I'm looking at them, obviously I'm pretty sure when they get to age where they're all right, it's time to get out of the house.
Yeah, adults.
Yeah. I'm like, we'll get there. But right now I'm like, no, dude, you can come back. But I love that concept of like creating a space where I do want my kids to come back home and kind of celebrate with us. I want them to enjoy, you know? Yeah. I think that's why I was talking about this other family. Like anytime you would go back to their home, their space, bro, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Like these kids want to come back because they created a great family system, a value, an environment that is so welcoming to their kids that it's, you know, like when we come back home, like look at the memories that we can create. And I think that that's something I want to do.
Totally. And we're not talking about like they're creating, you know, it's not about having a big space.
Right, right, right.
It's about having an intentional space. What's it smell like? What's it look like? Is it clean? Is there a safe place for them? Do they have a room to themselves?
Yeah.
Or a room that they can share that create memory? You know, it's like, it's all that type of stuff. I want to get really good at that in 2024. I want to be really intentional about making my home, making my house not just a house. It's a home. It's a place where they want to be. It's a refuge. It's a. Hey, do you want to go spend the night at their house? Nah, I actually like my house more.
Yeah,
you know, come into our place. You know, it's like I want to create that environment.
Yeah, like this year we're not going. I don't know if this is our first year actually. Yeah, I think this might be our first or second year. I can't remember. But it would be one of the beginning years of us not actually going back to Michigan during the holidays. And I thought, man, like, what are we going to do this year? You know, like, of course, we're going to, like, hang out with our boys and hang out with, you know, and do some great family time. But I thought, you know, we're going to try to get out to Disney this year. I've been, it's been 7 years here in LA, and I have yet to go to Disneyland.
Are you going to go on Christmas?
I think so. I think we want to try it, but also was kind of thinking like on Christmas Day, like sure, like I want to get back home and stuff, but I want to like do Christmas movies. I want to, you know, all sleep out in the living room. Let's just kind of give it a whirl and see what happens.
Yes,
but
yes.
You know, it's like around these times, you guys, it's like you get a fresh opportunity right now to really just, like, if you don't have family tradition, maybe this is the time to start it. Like, I don't know if you've been searching for it, if you're kind of like maybe asking yourself right now in this holiday season, what should I be doing? If you don't have a plan, welcome to the club. Start something new. If you're a family that's like, hey, like I want to do this, don't make it so complicated.
Yep.
This is your year. Make it fresh. Make it you.
I love that so much. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 48. We'll be back tomorrow with episode 49. And hey, thank you so much for reviewing, for sharing. So many of you share via text, continue to text. It helps us out so much, and we appreciate it. Hey, and check out those polls. We want to hear your thoughts on what Tommy should do when Michigan loses to UW.
Let's go. We'll see you next episode.